again, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in this week to the Good Cheer program. I'm Chauncey Griffith, and I'm so glad to have you along. Hey, this week and every week, the Good Cheer program, brought to you in part by the Kentucky National Guard. Text KYGUARD to 95577 to join. And as always, let's make sure we remember them in our thoughts and our prayers. And we're very thankful for the Kentucky National Guard for sponsoring our program, but also for doing what they do, because without them, we wouldn't be able to be here doing what we're doing. Hey, I hope you're having a great week. I know I sure am. I say it every week, and I mean it every week. And before we go on any farther, don't forget, you're happy when you're laughing. Here's Mark Bishop.
This is Mark Bishop, and you're happy when you're laughing. Well, one time Carolyn asked me to carry some heavy tubs down to the basement, and when I got them all carried down, I said, "Darling, what would you have ever done without me?" She said, "I don't know what I would have done without you, and I also don't know what I'm going to do with you." My wife and I have been married for 38 years now, and I love her as much now as I did when we first met. But that don't mean that you get to coast. You still have to work at it. Fact of the matter is, marriages have to evolve because the people who are married evolve. We're not the same people that we were 38 years ago. Carolyn told me one time, she said, "Honey, you're just like a TV show. Every year I have to decide if you're going to be renewed or not." I asked Brother Luther what his secret was for a good marriage. He said, "The secret to a good marriage is that it's still a secret." Flora had our marriage certificate out the other day looking at it, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm trying to see if this piece of paper has an expiration date on it."
Hey, I heard about a recent study that was done by the Center for Biblical Engagement, and it was kind of studying the effects that reading the Bible would have on people, and it's kind of interesting. It's very interesting, actually. Reading the Bible once a week, no real measurable effect. Same thing for two days a week, really no measurable effect there either. You get to 3 days, it does go up some, but nothing major. Now, if you read your Bible 4 days a week, listen to this. This is kind of crazy. The study says that reading the Bible at least 4 days a week, people experience the following benefits. Statistical analysis reveal, controlling for other factors such as age, gender, church attendance, and prayer, Christians who are engaged in Scripture most days of the week have lower odds of participating in these behaviors. Getting drunk, 57% lower odds. Sex outside of marriage, you have a 68% lower odds. Watching pornography, 61% lower odds. Gambling, odds lower by 74%. And any of these habits, there are 57% lower odds. Reading the Bible at least 4 days a week also made it more likely for the average Christian to engage in evangelism and discipleship. Think about that. You're 228% higher odds of sharing your faith with other people, 231% higher odds of discipling others, and this one's really not shocking. You have a 407% higher odds of memorizing Scripture. Directly from the study, it says more Scripture engagement also produces a Christian who is more involved in spreading the good news. And then it goes on into the same thing, controlling for other factors like age, etc., etc. It all boils down to this. Reading the Bible, staying in the Word, God tells us to do it, but hey, it's measurable. There's some measurable data out there that tells you that reading your Bible will benefit you in so many ways. It'll keep you out of the stuff you shouldn't be in, and it'll get you into the stuff you should be in. And there are so many places within the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, where we're told that we are supposed to stay in the Word and study to show ourselves approved. Revelation 1:3 is one of those places that says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near." That's pretty applicable. Pretty applicable in a whole lot of ways. Just thought I'd share that this week. I found that study pretty interesting. You can look it up online. Anyway, we're going to step out and play a song back after this on the Good Cheer program.
Singing, it sounds like freedom. You've been good to me. Even late in the evening, when the day is ending, I'll still be singing. You've been good to me. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I came running when he set me free. God's been good to me.
Testimony, your redemption.
Bartimaeus, that's a name a lot of us may not have ever even heard of out of the New Testament. But that doesn't mean we can't learn a whole lot from the story of the life of this guy. We read about Bartimaeus and his story in Book of Mark, chapter 10, the Book of Matthew, chapter 10, and then in Luke 18 as well. And we can see how these three gospel writers, just the fact they included Bartimaeus in his story, it shows us that it was impactful. It showed us that well, we know there's a reason he's included in the Bible like that. He was a blind guy, and he was blind for a long time, and, well, the Bible says that there were thousands of days Bartimaeus spent in the dark. He ate his meals in the dark, slept and woke up in the dark. He lived his entire life in the dark. Think about that. Never seen anything different. Now, think about that, because I'm going to tell you this. In a way, each and every one of us are like Bartimaeus. The only difference between us and Bartimaeus is we can see with our eyes, but we're blind spiritually for a long time. Let me explain. Because of God's love toward us, he showed us the light in the form of Jesus Christ. He gave us spiritual eyes to see and to learn his way of life. Now, that being said, sometimes seeking the light, not that easy. As we can see in the life of Bartimaeus, he faced a lot of opposition when he was trying to get close to Yeshua or Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was coming through a crowd, and when Bartimaeus knew he was there, he knew the presence of Jesus, and he was crying out, "Savior." And the crowd, they told him to be quiet. However, it did not stop Bartimaeus to calling out the name of Jesus more and more. And this time, when he yelled out, "Savior," Jesus took note. Aside from just calling out the name of Jesus, he appealed to his mercy. In the same way we can all appeal to God's mercy, we can go before the throne of grace and pray to God in any time of need. Now, all that being said, when Bartimaeus got close to the Lord, he asked for healing. And the response that Jesus gave was awesome. It couldn't be any sweeter. In Mark 10:52, Jesus said, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Key words there, your faith. Think about your faith. How strong is your faith? Is it growing? Is it dying? Does your faith lead to action? You see, God's merciful, but we also have a role to play. It's not just asking without action. We got to do our part. You know the old saying, do your best and God will do the rest? Well, the story of Bartimaeus, it's inspiring in many, many ways. But I believe it's most inspiring because it shows us that God sees us, all of us, myself, yourself included, even the least among us, even the blind, the lame, the people that nobody saw in society. So just like the name of this program, be of good cheer. God's merciful. He brings light. He brings healing. He brings forgiveness to everyone who seeks him. Even though we may be blind, we may start out blind, we will all see the glory of God.
An end inside we see, and the Lord has brought us safe thus far with his grace and perfect peace. But too many battles have been lost with the finish line in sight. So let us keep the faith and win this race before the day turns into night. So let us just keep traveling on. When you're halfway up the mountain, there's no time to rest a while. When you're halfway to your victory, you must go that edge.
Time now for the verse of the week here on the Good Cheer program. Actually, I probably should clarify, we've got two verses this week for our verse of the week. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I'm going to give a little bit of context first, and then we'll talk about our verses of the week. In Romans chapter 8, especially in verses 31 through 39, some people say it's one of the most encouraging, one of the most affirming passages in all God's Word. What that means, Paul's establishing that God's for all of us. Everyone who's in Christ, for anybody who's been saved by their faith, there's no charge, no accusation that can be made against us that can stand. Because God has provided for our justification, and Jesus Christ, well, he's interceding for us. We've talked about that on the program before. Paul makes two lists in that section of chapter 8 of Romans. He lists all the things in the universe that can't separate us from God's love for us. And that love comes through Christ. We know hard things are going to happen, no doubt about it. That's all over the New Testament. But none of them are going to cause the Father to stop loving us. And also, none of them are signs that he's abandoned us either. Our salvation is entirely and absolutely secure on the account of his great love. Now, Romans 8, 38 and 39 goes like this. And I'm reading from my Bible, the Modern English Version. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor powers, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I do want to say I probably should have kept track of the verses we've used as our verses of the week here on the program. I'll be honest, I was doing the math in my head. We've been doing this show for a little over 2 years now, and to be honest, that's a whole lot of Bible verses. And I don't know whether or not we've used Romans 8, 38, and 39 as our verses of the week. I'm pretty sure I've talked about them here on the program before, but those are some of my favorite scripture there is. And to be honest with you, if we repeat one, that's okay. But in these verses, Paul, he doesn't want to give his readers any ounce of insecurity about God's love for them. And as I mentioned, he already kind of came up with a list of the worst things that can happen to us in this life to make the point that none of them can demonstrate a loss for the love that Christ has for us. Those things may happen, but just like he wrote in the previous verse, they cannot conquer us in any way that matters. Those who are saved by faith in Christ can continually endure in the power of his Spirit. Now, I said in Romans chapter 8, there are two lists. This is the second list. This list pretty much covers everything that anyone might think would be of a challenge or be able to take over the love that God has for his people. Now, he starts with death, which for us, those of us who believe in Christ, death only brings us into God's glory more quickly because we know what happens when life on this earth is over. Now, he continues on, though, to talk about life, angels, and rulers. And the word that he uses for rulers, it's a Greek word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it's usually used for a political leader or a magistrate. And oftentimes it was applied to certain kind of demons. In other words, absolutely nothing, whether it's natural on this earth or supernatural from heaven or hell, nothing could ever cause God to stop loving us. And then Paul starts talking about time. He talks about the present and the future. Nothing that could happen now or tomorrow or 1,000 years from now could change God's commitment to love us in Christ. He talks about powers, referring to either supernatural powers like Satan or his demons or earthly governments like Rome. That's who's, you know, this is in the book of Romans, but it applies to here and now as well. Then he talks about height and depth, meaning anything that might come down from above or up from below. And finally, he throws in an all-inclusive mention of anything else in all creation. Basically, what Paul's trying to do here is say nothing. Nothing will ever be able to separate those of us who are in Christ from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Those who are saved through faith in Christ are saved eternally and forever, period. No question about it. And I tell you what, we've never done this before, but I've got two more verses for you. We'll use these as our verses of the week too. And they kind of go right along, right hand in hand. John 10, 28 and 29. This is Jesus talking. He says, "I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand." And then verse 30 says, "My Father and I are one." If you back up one verse in verse 27, you figure out he's talking about his sheep or his followers. That's each and every one of us who accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. No one, nothing can snatch us from his hand. Amen to that.
Jesus told the chosen his body would be broken, but he would surely rise from the dead. He did it like he said it, and then when he ascended, he promised he'd be coming back again. He didn't stay dead and he won't stay gone. He'll roll back the clouds like he rolled back the stone. If you trust his word, rest assured you can't go wrong. 'Cause he didn't stay dead and he won't stay gone. Scorners mock it, but nothing will stop it, and one day they will know that it's true. I'm trusting and awaiting, watching and praying, 'cause I believe it's gonna be soon. He didn't stay dead and he won't stay gone. He'll roll back the clouds like he rolled back the stone. If you trust his word, rest assured you can't go wrong. Stay dead and he won't stay gone.
That was the Wisnants with a song called He Won't Stay Gone. I really do like that song. Feel like we've had some great music on the program this week. The first song we had on the show was the Lefevre Quartet with a song called God's Been Good. And then after that, the Tribute Quartet with Halfway Up the Mountain. I hope you've enjoyed the songs this week as well. Hey, if you've got a request for a song or a guest or a topic, anything you'd like to hear here on the program, please reach out to us on Facebook under the Good Cheer program, and we will be happy to honor any requests that you might have. Hey, real quick, back to Romans chapter 8. In the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, Paul laid out an amazing summary of what God's done for us. In chapter 1, he talked about how sin separated us from God. And in chapter 2, he showed us that by works we could never obtain a right standing with God. In chapter 3, he illustrated how God provided a way apart from the law in which we can be justified by faith. In chapter 4, he described, well, faith is how the patriarchs were also justified, and how that was always God's plan for salvation. Then he told us in chapter 5 that since we've been justified in this way, we have peace with God. He revealed that the gift of his grace, God's grace that is, was much more than the trespass or the sin ever was. In chapter 6, Paul gives his proof. He teaches that we have been freed from the sin nature by faith in Christ. And then in chapter 7, Paul warns us about living according to the flesh and following its desires instead of living according to our new nature. And here we are in chapter 8. Paul, in earlier on in this chapter, he teaches us how to live according to the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And he kind of teaches that our obligation stems out of a love debt to the Lord because he first loved us. Makes sense, right? Remember our verses of the week, Romans 8:38 and 39, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that not even death could separate us from God. Nothing. He lists all these things, like we talked about earlier, that can't separate us from God. Nothing. The truth is, God loves you and me so much, but so many people I talk to don't understand the depth of how God loves them. They may know it intellectually, like they know, yeah, God loves me, but they've not experienced it personally. Many people try to earn God's love when all along he gives it out for free. Many people feel like they don't deserve his love, but seeing how he sent Jesus to die for us, this alone makes us worthy of his love. All of us. Anybody who's willing to accept it. Many people are afraid to be loved by God because they don't understand who he is. John tells us in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. All these emotions that I just talked about, they can keep you apart from really knowing God. Not because he removes himself from you, but because you keep him at a distance, not understanding your position before him and place alongside of him. Now, on the other hand, Paul understood the depth of his love, and that's why he was confident that nothing would separate him. He was perfected in love. I just hope that whoever's listening, evaluate your heart and remove any barriers that keep you from God and the love of God. He's waiting for you with open arms. He's ready to build a foundation in your life, and that foundation's built with Jesus as the chief cornerstone and God's love for you as the mortar. That's what holds everything together. Remember, nothing can separate you from God's love. And I just hope if you don't experience that, if you don't have that in your life, you're able to internalize this truth, get the revelation of his love, so like Paul, you can be fully persuaded in it. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, invite him into your heart. It will be the best decision you ever make. I guarantee that one. And hey, if you've got questions, if you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus, look us up on Facebook as well. More than happy to talk to anyone about anything like that. Hey, that's going to do it for the Good Cheer program this week. Don't forget new episodes every Wednesday, 8 p.m. on the Cool Hits Gospel Channel online. Every Sunday morning, we air on Cool Hits 105.7 FM in Ashland, Kentucky at 8:30 a.m. And again on the online Gospel Channel at coolhits1057.com on Sundays at noon. All episodes are available on demand at your convenience at coolhits1057.com under podcast on the Cool Hits app for any device, or you can just go to our Facebook and everything you need to know is right there. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Tell your friends and neighbors about the Good Cheer program. If we can be a blessing to one person or share the gospel with one person, I call that a huge success. Hey, until next week, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Chauncey Griffith, and God loves you. He really, really does. Bye-bye for now.
Seeking for the Savior had been born, and they knew that old King Herod was out to take away our Lord. When they found the baby Jesus knelt beside him in the hay, then they left a different way, a different way, a different way. Come to Jesus and you'll leave a different way. No matter what road you may be walking, come to Jesus today and you'll leave a different way. From a babe born in a manger to the man of Galilee, he healed the sick and saved the sinner and set the captive free. So no matter where you're headed, come to Jesus today and you'll leave a different way, a different way. Way. No matter what road you may be walking, come to Jesus today and you'll leave a different way, a different way, a different way. Come to Jesus and you'll leave a different way. No matter what road you may be walking, come to Jesus today and you'll leave a different way. No matter what road you may be walking, come to Jesus today and you'll leave. I know you'll leave. Oh, yes, you'll leave.
Jesus.